from your home of Wing It Wednesdays, semi-live from a studio. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. It's great to see you.
Yeah.
Good. We had a...
We didn't know.
No. This was last minute. I'm glad this all came together because I was planning...
I'm talking nice about the Vikings?
I was going to lead the show by talking nicely for 10 minutes about the Minnesota Vikings. And now I don't have to.
Thankfully, you're welcome.
Because I don't think I could do it.
The slander that you normally do.
Just saying Christian Ponder over
yes.
and over for 10 yeah. minutes. Well, is not. Yeah. That's good radio. I like that. Yeah. That's good stuff.
It's time.
So we are going to lead with the Vikings.
You are.
Go fire off, man. It was a great game. I got to watch all of it. The Minnesota Vikings, and I will not say this often, looked really good.
In the fourth quarter.
Yes. It is a four-quarter sport, so, you know, like, they didn't look great. If you were going to say that they would look the roughest opening drive first quarter with your new quarterback, didn't look fantastic. They were real consistent about just run the ball, keep serve kind of thing.
Right.
For that first quarter, they let J.J. McCarthy, their brand-new quarterback toy, last year sat out to redshirt and learn. Didn't really show what he learned that first half, really.
Right.
It didn't matter, though, because they were playing the Bears.
Which apparently, same old, same old.
Thankfully, they are the same old Bears because the Vikings were able to come back 16 points. They were down by 16 in the fourth quarter. Justin Jefferson stepped up when needed. Yep. Jordan Mason looked real good as their backup running back. Aaron Jones did an Aaron Jones thing and caught a 46-yard catch for a touchdown.
Yep. In that fourth quarter, if you take away the first three,
sure.
The fourth quarter looked like what I think everybody thought they were going to look like anyway.
Sure.
There's new people, there's new players mm-hmm. getting used to that. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy, it's his first start in his hometown.
You know, about halfway through the game when they made that mention that he had won state championships in Chicago as a high schooler.
Yeah.
And he went to Michigan. Yeah, this was a big deal for J.J. McCarthy.
He's like 61-3 in his football career from high school.
He's a winner. He's just...
61-3.
Sure. And, you know, you don't know what kind of... who they were playing in high school. You don't know high school stats, but not losing...
He didn't play his freshman season.
Yep.
Sophomore, he did. He won. Mm-hmm. I think he was undefeated.
Yep.
The junior year, mm-hmm. last. I think he lost one game.
And he was a parade All-American in high school going into college. He had the pedigree for it. You just didn't see it in college because he wasn't asked.
Right.
They didn't ask him to do it. Now they're asking him to do it in the pros. And he looked, at least in that fourth quarter.
What happened, and I saw the highlight. I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
You get to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
I'm so privileged to wake up at 4:30 in the morning for work now, which is good. But it was on Monday Night Football, which I have the channel to be able to watch it.
Sure.
Not anything else, but I was able to stay up till about halftime.
Sure.
But at that point, I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
you guys,
very much.
Chicago. I don't care. Whatever. So... co-worker was texting me at 9, because I fell asleep by 8:30, but at 9 p.m., my co-worker,
mm-hmm.
my boss, was going, hey, I'm like, are you awake? What's going on? And, you know, I'm like, no.
Did his tone change a little bit towards the end of the game at some point? Did he?
No, he just, wake up. But, you know, so I missed the rest of the other half of the game.
Sure.
But when I woke up, I'm like, okay, let's check it. How bad is it? And you go, 27-24. Before we won?
Yeah, yeah.
And you watch the highlights. It all happened after that interception.
Yes. Yep, he threw a pick six.
It calmed him down, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're nervous. I mean, anything like that, when you're brand new job, you know, your first three quarters of the job, you're like, or the first, you know, whatever, 2 hours, you're going, you know, you want to make an impression. You want to do the right things.
Yeah,
you want to do everything right. He's an overachiever. But I think after that interception... you know, our coaching staff
mm-hmm.
calmed him down, said, hey, this is what it is.
This is the worst.
You're going to be it, man.
The worst thing that could happen, did. Now let's go forward for it. He's during the game, they or they had made mention after the game of something that J.J. McCarthy said during the huddle, that they said a bunch of teammates came together and said that really made the difference for our game. He pulled into the huddle when they were down by 16 points in the fourth quarter, looked at his teammates and said, is there anywhere else you'd rather be than right here?
Yeah. He's a leader.
And that, as a 22-year-old, we'll call it kid, in a room full of professionals.
Adults.
The players, they all said, like, you got to smile. J.J. McCarthy said it made a you could see the difference. That it made things like that. That really is not something you see on a scouting report.
It's an intangible, is what they call it.
Yep.
You know, that and being able to, you know, the poise. He's been in big games.
Yep.
He was in the national championship and won.
And you watched on the other sideline. Caleb Williams, who has all the pedigree that J.J. McCarthy had in high school, he was the real deal. In college, he won a Heisman. He was the real deal. He came out in that first half and was making amazing throws for his new coach.
Absolutely.
In a new spot, was looking like a number one overall pick. By the end of the game, you could see those intangibles.
He looked like
that,
last year Caleb.
Yeah, he looked like somebody who just couldn't quite figure out the way.
So with the Chicago, there was some rumors that he was not buying into what Ben Johnson has been selling.
Okay, which is an interesting impasse to come
like
to.
Like going, hey, this is how I do it. This is how I like to do it. No.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we started blitzing in that fourth quarter. You know, so it was coaching, honestly.
That defensive, well, that's the thing, is your defensive line was fantastic.
Fairly new.
And new. It shows you what good coaching with Brian Flores, their D coordinator.
Yep.
Makes a difference. You could see continuity with a coach like Kevin O'Connell, who had been there for a few years, could look at his team and say, we're going to find a way.
Yeah. The confidence that they have in J.J. McCarthy is what it is.
Sure.
They're not, when everything was down and they were not doing really well, you know, the reports were that Coach O'Connell was still going, we could do this.
Sure.
We can do it. There's no reason why we can't. We came back from 33 points deficit against Indianapolis a couple years ago. Why can't we do it now? We can do this.
And they do. They've consistently over the last few years found the way in big spots
to make it happen.
To make it happen.
Yeah.
And that really also, that's the intangibles too from coaching. That's everything. That was it wasn't my most impressive victory of the weekend, right? There were some pretty big games. There was that Ravens game was really was a great game, right?
It was a comeback as well.
Yep, the Ravens came back to kick a field goal, game winner. Bills. The Bills came back and against the Ravens.
Speaking of field goal,
sure.
Bill Riker,
okay,
59-yard field goal in Soldier Field is a record.
Is that right?
Yeah, because that place is, I guess, really hard to kick field goals.
It's
open air.
It's the Windy City. Yeah.
It is.
Though they talk about that stadium is terribly designed for football because of the winds coming off.
Also, the field was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They were fixing it a couple hours before.
Which is, you know, come on, guys. Did they not know that there was a game
today?
I guess
not.
You know what I'm saying?
I found out, though, it's not the Bears' ownership that maintains the stadium.
Hmm.
City of Chicago.
Well, that feels right. Yeah.
So they were like, we're going to fix it.
Oh, okay, good. Way to go, Chicago. Way to roll out the red carpet
but
on Monday
it's,
night.
I mean, I've already been optimistic about this, my team.
And
my team.
You can't be any more optimistic than you have been. There is.
Because the only doubt, the doubt that was there is for the quarterback.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, they shored up the safeties,
offensive
the corners.
Offensive line looked great.
Yeah, finally. You got to play real time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that, work the kinks
out.
You
got two running backs who are doing well and a quarterback who can stay upright most of the game. You're doing your job as an offensive line. And come fourth quarter, they showed that they were up for it because they were mauling. A Bears defense that was supposed to be considered top shelf.
Yeah.
By the fourth quarter, it was exactly meh. It was a whole lot of meh, which...
But if you run the ball, that makes a difference. It takes a lot of pressure off your quarterback, no matter who it is.
Whole first quarter, one pass attempt by the quarterback, and that was just fine. It wasn't out of script. It really felt right. Who do they got coming up?
Let me just quick throw this out.
Oh, sure.
J.J. McCarthy won NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad is everybody else?
Well, yeah. No, 100%. Nobody...
Right.
Nobody. I mean, he played. He got three touchdowns.
Right.
And he did throw pick six. Big game. Big spot. I dropped him off my fantasy football team too late. That was. I did not win. Yeah. It's a side note of of angst for me. We could talk angrily about. But
so
no,
he
no,
had
no,
one
no.
143, two throwing touchdowns, one interception, one running for 25 yards, or he had two carries for 25 yards.
Okay, so no, the stats weren't overwhelming
no.
by any.
No,
stretch.
But here's the cool stat: is Jordan Mason, 15 carries, 68 yards, just on the ground.
That is going to make a difference.
He also had one catch for 7 yards. Yep. So it's little things.
You remember, I mean, throughout the years, the Vikings have done such a great job with having two running backs, right? Like,
yes.
There was a time they had Adrian Peterson, but his backup was pretty good. Throughout the years, they've always had a pretty good consistent, and you need it. In the NFL, one good running back is only as good as the big hit he's about to take.
And only for 4 years.
And about 5 years. Yeah, that's it. So you're looking at guy. If you don't have a good backup, you're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And the Vikings appear to not have any weaknesses. Now, after game, of course, one
game.
We are like, you know, one quarter into the very long season.
But it also proves that I think that coaching staff is top.
Sure.
Top three. Guarantee it.
I like that it also proves that no matter what, the Bears are going to bear. No matter what.
Yeah.
It, new coach,
this,
new...
This came... Well, let's see. We'll just wait. Vikings play the Falcons this week.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm all over that one.
I wish it would have been the Kirk Cousins reunion tour, but I guess he can hang out on the bench.
Maybe he's going to...
I wonder if he'll lead the Skol halftime chant since he doesn't get in the games anymore.
Can I be your backup?
You're right. You guys need... I got my jersey.
You need Carson. I know your system.
I still...
Please.
I can grab one of those jerseys out of the locker room there. I'm sure you got a Cousins jersey somewhere in that stadium.
But every game... I think really right now, though... The games we got coming up, you got to, other than maybe the Browns, you got to watch what you're doing because you got Chargers, Lions, Ravens, Bears again.
Okay.
I mean, it's
three of those teams.
I think
like
we're the
teams.
Fourth hardest schedule.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I can't believe we just talked for 10 solid good minutes, productive minutes about the Vikings, guy. Why
well,
are we?
No, it's 12 minutes.
That felt like 10. Really flew by there.
How's your Packers?
Do you want to talk about the Packers?
I don't care.
Perfect.
Yeah, now you know.
Just hide your enthusiasm, can you please, for just a moment?
No.
Okay. Packers.
Aaron Rodgers.
I will not hide your enthusiasm for you. They had the most impressive victory of the weekend.
I don't think it's that impressive.
Well, that's because you weren't watching like I was. I was very in tune to this game.
I was watching it for a little bit.
It looked... From the opening jump,
yeah.
Like the Packers were the better team.
Hmm.
I mean, it did look like they were the better team there.
I guess
you can make.
I'm going to say this and just curb your enthusiasm a little
bit.
Detroit lost everybody. We already talked about that.
Sure did.
And I think as they like to play it, Dan Campbell has tried to play that off.
Mm-hmm.
It's major to lose your OC or DC. Yeah. A lot of guys underneath them to go to different teams. That's a lot of cohesiveness that you lose.
I do believe it. I do believe that, too, because...
And Detroit looked flatter than flat. Like,
right.
That's not... They got so much talent.
Yeah.
But they also lost Frank Ragnow.
They're starting center.
Who, that timing between your center and your quarterback, it means a lot.
It does. It absolutely does.
So not having that there, maybe they didn't have a backup plan in the first and that, you know?
They
so.
Didn't have a running game. Detroit was one of the best running games in football last year,
yep.
If not the best, minus, like, you know, quarterbacks who are
right.
great runners.
Right.
They didn't generate any offense anywhere that looked like anything that you had seen from them over the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
It is the reminder that Dan Campbell, as great of a coach as he is, he's a CEO, general manager type coach. He's not a defensive specialist. He's not an offensive specialist.
Well,
like Sean McVay with the Rams is an offensive guy. You could lose your whole coaching staff, but the offense will be fine.
Yes.
Dan Campbell is good at getting the right people. Matt LaFleur is an offensive coach. You could lose everybody around him.
Dan Campbell's, he's an offensive minded guy.
He was an offensive, but
he was a tight end.
Yes.
He
was a decent tight end. He was a, played for the Lions. Played
Lions
for the,
and Dallas, I think.
Yeah. Gosh. Let's remember some players, huh? But so I'm going to say,
no matter what, I think in this time, day and age, every team is decent
mm-hmm.
for the most part. There's some, like Miami.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a dumpster fire.
They look terrible.
But,
Cleveland,
I mean, especially within our division,
mm-hmm.
I think all four teams, it's going to be tough to pull out, to win in against any of them.
I'm not rooting for the Bears ever, But they don't look like a team that's going to win 9 games this year. That based
six
on
or
what,
seven.
Based on what I
but
saw.
But that would be an improvement.
Did they win 6 or 7 last year?
It'd still
somewhere
be an improvement.
Okay, I mean, it's an improvement because they have to start from the bottom,
yeah, it's
work
first,
your way up.
First-year head coach, mm-hmm. getting all the system. It takes sometimes new coaches 1 or 2 years to get what they want.
So is there a – and, of course, the Packers, they played on Monday – Sunday night. Another the Thursday game. They will be playing on
tomorrow night.
They will be playing on the shipping company's network late into the evening. You know, I don't know what they do.
Playing the Commanders.
They play the Washington Commanders.
This will be a test.
Washington looked good.
Yeah.
Washington was a nearly in the Super Bowl team last year.
Yep.
With a up on the rise all the way around roster, coach,
yep.
City, ownership. No, this is a real test. I think Washington is on paper every bit as good as Detroit.
Yep.
I would say that on paper, they're also better than Green Bay.
Yes.
I don't know where that – these Thursday games have always been real interesting to me, especially after the up of your opening game, you know, the pomp, the circumstance, the excitement.
You're going to come back to Monday, and all of a sudden you're back to work, and you need a short week. It's not easy. I don't like Thursday night games because they're usually not really good.
No, I'd prefer – I'm an old man like that. I would prefer that – yeah, pound the table first. Wow, buddy, don't break the table. No,
that's,
I like
–
it's a solid piece of wood. You're not wrong. Yeah. It. I would prefer that my Thursday games feature two terrible teams that I don't have any rooting interest in at all because I don't believe that it's going to be – I'm with you. It's typically not your best football.
It hasn't historically. Now
– for anybody who's practiced and played sports, there's a reason that they have a game day and practice days. Normally,
players don't like Thursday games either.
I can't imagine the only benefit to a Thursday game comes with the 10 days off that surround that game.
That's it.
So you get a little bit of bounce back for your next game.
Right.
But that's – this early in the season, you're not really looking for the bounce back. No, Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders quarterback, is the most dynamic. Is it fair to say the most dynamic athlete?
Kind of a scrawny guy, though.
Looks it. He has that Michael Vick feel to his game where he's just nimble. He's on his toes. He's got a good bounce to him. Can throw the ball like nobody's business, but he can outrun everybody on the field. That is a real test. And the Packers... I mean, the Packers passed every test that you could, if you called it that, against the Lions. Was their new formed offensive line held up? Yep. Detroit did not get a sack. Did their newly found offensive weapons click? Sort of, kind of. Jordan Love looked pretty good. Matthew Golden didn't do a whole heck of a lot. Tucker Kraft is looking like an all-pro.
Yes.
He feels like a pro bowler on that roster. But the rest of the wide receiving crew, Josh Jacobs didn't look overwhelming. He had his 9th straight game with a touchdown, which is keeps his franchise record in place.
I mean, to beat Dallas 27-13, it's still, no matter what, pretty good.
Detroit, yeah. Beating your rival, the team that you need to beat to make that leap. No, their secondary, as much as their cornerback room looked light going into the game, didn't seem to be an issue. I mean, depth isn't an issue early in the season, typically.
Not yet.
Typically, yeah, right? Once you hit that week 7, week 12, where you're doing fourth string guys, maybe there's going to be some issues on the back end. But their safeties look good. Micah Parsons.
Jordan Love didn't mess up.
He didn't do the Jordan Love things that you would see.
Not yet.
Micah Parsons, let's focus on the positives here, shall we?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to,
Parsons made a huge difference on that field. It allowed a guy like Devontae Wyatt to look like Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
It allowed Lucas Van Ness to finally look like a football player,
of the generational defensive players on your team, it makes a difference. I think they said that when Micah was in, there was like 2 or 3 yards less per reception, running, whatever.
No, he's that guy that you have to put two guys on. You have to double team. If you don't, he's going to do what he finally did. And the sack that he got was just a pure athlete. Yeah. He sprinted. He caught him. It was really impressive to see.
The Jared Goff one.
Yes, when he finally, you could see the players on the sidelines.
Jared Goff is not necessarily really gifted athletically.
No, but you know, you could. he made a play.
There you go. There you go. Sounded like a Packer player. He's good. He's fast.
Micah Parsons is going to make a huge difference.
Yes.
To what the Packers are able to do as a defense.
Whenever he's on the field, you have to account for him.
Yeah, there's only
that's it.
It's at one of one. There is only so many of those guys that are out there. So, yeah, it's they've got, like I said, Thursday coming up.
Yep.
Short week again. I'm gonna say they win this game. It just why not?
I don't think so.
Why not? Don't worry. They'll we still got to play the game on Thursday. So that was the NFL. Was there anything else in the NFL that really, on a week one, made you go, oh, wow, huh?
The Chiefs not doing well.
You're right. That was for me, too.
Or, I mean, I would say more the Chargers looking really good.
I liked how the Chargers looked, but also, the Kansas City Chiefs have consistently, over the last decade, sort of found a way.
Yep.
And they just do. They just sort of find a way.
Yep. Last week, the big game was the Eagles and Cowboys without Micah. Cowboys were like, I mean, CeeDee Lamb dropped 3 passes.
He did.
He does not do that. And if he catches one of those or two of those, that game will
the defending Super Bowl champions may not have won their opening game.
Without Micah, they looked really good. Who else? 49ers won, surprisingly.
I like Buffalo's game. Buffalo has an incredibly good roster, top to bottom. Buffalo, when they win games, they really do it physical. They beat you up. Yeah. They have weapons all over the field.
Bengals won, which is a rarity.
Right. They didn't play all that well.
No. They didn't look up, but they still won. It was against Cleveland, but...
There wasn't any giant injuries. There wasn't any...
The Colts?
Oh, that was a big surprise. Yeah. Daniel Jones, who has flamed out with 2 different teams.
Well, he didn't really flame out with Minnesota. He never started.
He's on his 3rd team in 3 years.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones was a former 5th overall pick, supplanted a different 5th overall pick in Anthony Richardson, and he looked good. He looked like a quarterback you can build around, but they've said that before. That's how you end up with your 3rd team in 3 years.
But it's also the Dolphins.
The Dolphins were my biggest surprise as a disappointment. The Dolphins are a perpetually average team with a really good roster. I don't understand. That might be Mike McDaniels is working his way into first coach fired range.
Yeah.
I really do think that if they end up...
Yeah, they're not on the same... There's nothing good about that team right now. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill doesn't want to be there.
Right.
You know?
They got
rid of a bunch of... I mean, Johnny went to Pittsburgh. I mean, yeah, that's crazy.
No, it's interesting when you start moving guys around for culture and you still are terrible.
Right.
Maybe it's...
I'm secretly kind of a Raiders fan.
Ooh.
So optimistic. They look actually decent.
They did look. It's amazing what happens when you bring an adult into the room. Pete Carroll
really
is there.
Old adult.
Is there? Well, he's a grandparent into the room. It changes how everybody views. There's a little bit of sense of urgency. That's not the we're building this slowly. It's the I'm ready to win. Let's go win. And they looked it.
Yep. The one that I kind of go, is New York Giants.
Sure.
Russell Wilson. I think this is his last ride.
I cannot believe that he was terrible. He was straight up terrible. Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, it's the first week. Overreaction.
I love a good overreaction, man. I do.
Listen to sports radio. They'll tell you all the time.
You can't help it. No, that's it. I have, and I do. And what we've just done today is a nice solid overreaction for the NFL, too.
Well, we got roughly 4.5 minutes left to talk about your Badgers.
I was just going to mention the Wisconsin Badgers.
Who's their head coach?
Never mind.
See? You might have Christian Ponder on me, but I can just go.
Luke Fickle. God. As far as milquetoast boring coaches, man, Wisconsin really does. Between Greg Gard and Luke Fickle,
there's that. Yeah.
Really gets the boring out, man. But Wisconsin is sitting at 2-0. Wisconsin hasn't really. They played Middle Tennessee State.
Are they ranked?
No, they're not ranked.
No,
to start out the year, you could probably rank them as like the 50th to 60th best program.
Well, that's not really common, though.
There is no. They last year was the first year in 20 some years they had the longest bowl streak. One of the longest bowl streaks in the country, if not the longest, broken last year when they finally went under 500.
Yeah.
So they replaced their offensive coordinator.
Okay.
They got back to old school Big Ten football which for all of us fans.
Do you think he's going to stay?
Who's the coach?
Pickle? Yeah.
I mean, if they, as much as getting him was a big deal a few years ago, Luke Fickell came off a 12-win playoff victory against with the University of Cincinnati. He played at Ohio State. He was a very well-regarded and probably the biggest coaching hire in the coaching cycle when he got.
Was it would have been bigger than Jim Leonard?
I mean, yes. Yeah, it would have been. It was a why you got to be like that? The Jim Leonard is in the past.
Because you brought up Christian Ponder. Every time you do that, I'm just going to bring up horrible decisions
ledgers.
On your team.
Fine. It's a mark on the ledger. So Luke Fickell came in as kind of this, we are going to modernize what the Wisconsin Badgers have been doing because they've been a really boring, call it franchise, really boring program. Just big mauling running backs, huge offensive linemen, and they win like that.
Yeah.
They decided to change it up and get fast and spread offense, and they transfer portals, and they have fallen on their face and are at the lowest point that they've been since Barry Alvarez got hired in the
90s. So it's not working.
It's not working. So when they replaced their Wingham spread offense offensive coordinator with just a regular old offense, they got better. So the quarterback that they brought in was a transfer from Maryland.
Sure.
Another fifth-year senior guy. He got hurt. So they've got some sophomore, some transfer in. But they're running the football.
No.
They're 2-0. They've played Middle Tennessee State last week, and they won pretty handily. They played Miami of Ohio their first week. No, correct. Those are, other than Ben Roethlisberger, there is in Miami of Ohio. Same thing, Middle Tennessee State.
People are just confused with Miami of Florida.
The Miami of Ohio, yes. So this week, at 2-0, they're facing off against Alabama.
Oh.
They're going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
What if they win that game? Because Alabama's not...
Alabama's sitting at 1-1. No, you're right. Alabama is at their lowest point that they've been since, you know, Saban got hired. So
yeah, before
quite
that.
A long time.
Yep.
Alabama's still got all the talent in the universe. Mm-hmm. Their favorite.
What's his coach?
DeBoer. Caleb DeBoer. He came from
Probably on the hot seat.
He's been on the hot seat since he got hired. He was 3-0. He was 5-0 in his first five games, and since then he's been a 500 coach. So, no, Wisconsin is a 20-and-a-half-point underdog.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to see them keep it somewhere in that range. You know, why not? Please keep it in that range.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess we'll know more about that, and we'll talk more about that next week.
Maybe.
The Brewers are still just scuffling along. The Rangers beat them 3 in a row.
But they're solid. I mean, they're still.
They're a playoff team guaranteed. You're going to win the division most likely. You're going to be a 95-win team. You're going to be in the playoffs. The playoffs start in, I think, 15 games left in the regular season. So we'll wrap up their season as it gets a little bit closer. But mostly I just want to see them stay healthy, get their rotation set, because the playoffs are coming, and boy, do I want to get excited about some Brewers victories.
10.
Man, this was the best show. These NFL shows, man, we just hammer them out. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.